Where have you heard this before? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It is not rude. It is not always sitting in the same chair. And today we add, love is not easily angered. Now, I suppose this is one that some of you were hoping we would skip over. But I'll bet that there are other people who are saying, boy, I'm glad so-and-so is here today. They need to hear this. Notice this. Paul does not say, love does not get angry. He says, love is not easily angered. And there is a difference. Anger can be constructive and not always destructive. In the English Standard Version, it says, love is not irritable. In the King James Version, it says, love is not easily provoked. What kind of a person is Paul talking about here? It's the kaboom person. Are you familiar with that person? Short-tempered. Kaboom! They just explode with anger. Something doesn't go their way. Kaboom! They lose their temper. Easily exasperated. Touchy. Touchy. We've all encountered them. If you live with someone like that, may God give you the patience of Job. It's tough. There's a story about a husband who said to his wife, when I get mad and scream at you, you're very calm and you control your anger. How do you do that? And she said, I clean the toilet. He said, how does that help? She said, I use your toothbrush. That's an old story. That's a groaner. Some people are proud that they are hot-tempered. One woman went up to the evangelist Billy Sunday one day and she said, sure, I have a bad temper and I know it, but I get it all out and it's all over in just a few minutes. To that, Billy Sunday said to her, ma'am, so does a shotgun. And look how much devastation it leaves behind. Kaboom people in our lives leave plenty of wounds in our lives. Where might you encounter them? Some would say in the office. There's some who are not here today. I wish were here to hear me say that because I've counseled with some who are having real struggles at work with kaboom people. Some would say on the beltway around Baltimore. Some would say, sadly, in the church. Some would say, even more sadly, in my home, in my family, behind the closed doors. James 1, 19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, all of us get angry. All of us get angry. But angry is not usually the root issue. It's usually a symptom of something else that's going on. Anger itself is not a sin. The sin part comes in why we get angry and how we handle our anger, how we react to things that are causing the anger. And the sin part comes when we lose our temper. Kaboom. Some of us might relate to this story. There was an elderly woman who was driving a beautiful Cadillac. And she was about to park it in a parking lot when along came a rowdy teenager and an old jalopy, and he cut her off and he parked in her place. And he got out of his car, and he just held his chest high, and he started boasting to her, and he said, oh, to be young and fast. And he walked away. But she took her Cadillac, backed it up, and then started bamming his car with it, a battering ram, destroying his car. He stopped, and he put his arms, what is she doing? And then she got out of her car and she said, "Oh, to be old and rich." Some situations call for anger. For instance, suppose you were to leave the service today and I beat you out there to the parking lot to your car and I have a knife and I'm slashing your tires. Would you say, "Harry, what a lovely knife you have"? Of course not. You wouldn't say that. Your adrenaline would rush, your face would turn red, your anger would overwhelm you, and you might even say some words that I didn't know you knew. Well, that's one example, but here's another one that has more substance. You're at home with your family, and someone is trying to break into your house to do harm to you. Your adrenaline would rush, your face would get red, anger would overwhelm you, and you would shift into a protective mode. Sometimes, some situations call for getting angry. Jesus got angry. God gets angry. The disciples got angry. But Moses, in one example, lost his temper. God told Moses to speak to that stone and that water would come forth from it. Moses got angry with the people, and instead of being obedient to God, he struck that stone in anger twice, and as a result, God did not allow Moses to enter the promised land. That's pretty extreme. Love is not easily angered. Now, there are three Greek words for anger, and they progress in intensity. The first one is orge. That is the most common kind of anger that we all experience. The second one is paragismos, and that is wrath. Your anger has escalated to wrath. And the third one is thumos, and it's even worse. It's a sudden burst of anger. The pot boils over. It's rage. Kaboom! Now let's apply that to a very familiar teaching that we read earlier today, Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 26, Paul says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." And a few verses later, in verse 31, he says, "Get rid of all anger." Three times we have anger or angry. Now let's apply these Greek words to this passage, because he used all three Greek words. And this is how it should read. In your orge, common anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still paragismos, full of wrath. And in verse 31, it should read, get rid of all thumos, rage, kaboom. In other words, get angry when you should, but don't sin. But if anger grows into wrath, don't even go to bed before you deal with that. And don't ever give in to rage. Don't lose your temper, because love is not easily angered. There was a pathetic story in a South American newspaper that said a peasant there killed his best friend. He was arrested, and he was put on trial, and the judge said, "Why did you kill him?" And he said, "We were arguing." "What were you arguing about?" "We were arguing about politics." "But why did you kill him?" He said, "Well, we began peacefully, but then we ran out of words." We ran out of words. How pathetic. And when I think about that story, I think about the television news. I think about Gaza. I think about Israel. I think about Egypt. I think about Greece. I think about the Ukraine. I think about Russia. I think of a lot of places in the world where thumos and rage and anger have taken over. They've run out of words. They've become easily angered. There is no love. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. And we could all say woman. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Anybody here a Baltimore Orioles fan? The Baltimore Orioles played a baseball game in Boston in May of 1984. In that game, Tommy Tucker of the Boston team was sliding into third base, and John McGraw of the Orioles kicked him in the head trying to keep him from getting to the base. Fumos! Kaboom! Erupted, and those two players got into a fight. Soon, all the players came out of the dugout on both teams, and they were all on the field fighting one another. Then it spread to the stands, and the people in the stands started fighting one another, and somebody started a fire. Would you believe the entire stadium caught on fire, and the fire spread, and it burned 107 other buildings in Boston. Now that is really extreme. But you never know how one little spark of rage might escalate into something as disastrous as that. How bad things can come. Love is not easily angered. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 30, verse 33, for as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. Brothers and sisters, there's too many people in the Church of Jesus Christ who love to twist noses. Now, there's no hidden message here. Don't try to read between the lines. I'm not necessarily talking about covenant fellowship. There's no hidden agenda. But in this world in which we live, in your workplace, there are people who love to twist noses. At school, there are people who love to twist noses. There are people who have out-of-control personalities. Some of them are parents. Some of them are grandparents. Some of them are children. Some of them get behind the wheel of a car. Maybe some of them are in your, quote, happy home. Love is not easily angered. Are you a hot-tempered person? Don't answer that. Are you a hot-tempered person? Well, then maybe you need to be more like the desert jackrabbit. You see, the desert jackrabbit has huge ears. And there are two reasons that he has these two huge ears. One of them is so that he can hear better. But the other one is to help cool off his body. Because you see, living out there in the desert, he can't get enough water to generate the perspiration to keep his body cool, and these ears act as radiators. So if you are a hot-tempered person who struggles with rage and anger, you need to get radiator ears in order to cool yourself down and keep from becoming overheated, but more importantly, so that you can learn to hear. To listen. Ears that will help you listen and hear the facts instead of getting steamed up over something you hear and you're very sure that you know all about it, but you probably haven't heard all the facts. You think you have a good understanding. Don't assume you do. Get ears that listen that are also attached to your heart. Really listen to your wife, men. Really listen to your husbands, ladies. Really listen to your kids. Kids, really listen to your parents and your grandparents. Brothers and sisters, listen to one another. Listen to one another. Don't jump in and burn down a stadium. I like this quote. God doesn't measure us by our ability to speak our minds, but by our ability to mind what we speak. The next time you go to Babenhausen, Germany, and I'm sure that's on your list later this summer to go there, I want you to visit the famous monastery that's there. Because when you go into the entranceway of the famous monastery, there are up on the wall a set of two huge antlers that are locked together. You see, what happened is these two huge deer got into a battle with one another, and they locked their antlers, and they couldn't get them separated, and as a result, they couldn't eat, and so they starved to death. And that's how they found them. And they took these antlers, and they put them up on the wall as a reminder. People who are easily angered, people who lose their temper, end up locking horns with other people. And be careful, because that can lead even to death. The word anger, A-N-G-E-R, is only one letter away from the word danger, D-A-N-G-E-R. If you have a short fuse and you know that it doesn't honor the body of Jesus Christ here on earth, what can you do about it? What can you do? Not much. It's almost as hard to deal with this as it is for a right-handed person to eat with their left hand. Have you ever had to do that? Eat with the opposite hand? The truth is, you need the great physician. You need to surrender it to him. Psalm 103 describes him in these words: the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. You want to be more like him, right? Here's what you can do. Number one, admit your problem. Admit it to yourself. Confess it to God. He already knows anyway. So do all the other people around you. But he wants you to come to grips with it, and he wants you to admit it to yourself and to admit it to him. And don't try to justify your hot-headed personality like the woman who said to Billy Sunday, "I just get it out of my system and I feel better." And don't condemn yourself either, because no one is perfect. We are all sinners. And we have all blown it. Kaboom! We've all done that. Make a decision that with God's help, you are going to try to manage your anger. Now, here's a very familiar saying. There are two fundamental realities in this world. One is there is a God, and two is you are not him. So don't try to act like you are. Recognize it when you are angry that one of three things is probably going on. One is that perhaps you've been hurt by somebody. Another is perhaps you are frustrated with somebody. And the third is that you are afraid of someone or something. So ask yourself, why am I angry? Was I hurt? Am I frustrated? Or am I really afraid? If you've been hurt, explore what needs to be done in order to do something about it in a helpful way. If you are frustrated, explore what needs to be done to do something about it in a helpful way. If you are afraid or insecure, what is the real cause of that? And what can you do about it? Sometimes you have to ask God to reveal it. Sometimes you have to ask somebody else close to you, even a professional, to reveal it to you. When you're angry with the other person, listen to this short poem. If only I could see the road you came, with all its jagged rocks and crooked ways, I might more kindly think of your misstep and only give you praise. Ask yourself this. Would you get angry? Would you get hot-headed? Would you lose your temper if Jesus Christ were in the room? Well, he is. He's always there. He's in the passenger seat. He's always there. Acknowledge that he's there, always. and act accordingly. Love is not easily angered. A man gave this testimony in church. He said, I had a problem with anger, with a short temper. And I heard a preacher say once, every time you lose your temper, I want you to know that it's piercing the heart of Jesus Christ. He said, how can I remember that? I went home and I got a cork bulletin board and I put a picture of Jesus up on it. And every time I got so mad that I lost my temper, I took a thumbtack and I stuck it in the picture of Jesus. And he said, pretty soon, that whole picture was filled with thumbtacks. And he said, they looked like thorns. And it reminded me of the price that Jesus paid for my anger. Not I, but Christ in me. Please God, he said. And the great physician ministered to him in his anger, in his temper, in his frustration. Maybe you need something like that, something visual, something tangible. If there's a run on thumbtacks at Staples this week, well, I'll know why. When I have lost my temper, I have lost my reason too. I'm never proud of anything which angrily I do. When I have talked in anger and my cheeks were flaming red, I have always uttered something which I wish I had not said. In anger, I have never done a kindly deed or wise, but many things for which I felt I should apologize. In looking back across my life and all I've lost or made, I can't recall a single time when fury ever paid. So I struggle to be patient, for I've reached a wiser age. I do not want to do a thing or speak a word in rage. I have learned by sad experience that when my temper flies, I never do a worthy deed, a decent deed, or wise. The highest form of love is God's love, and God is slow to anger. That's why in Proverbs 19, verse 11, God told us this: a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. I want to close with this illustration. Suppose you have a daisy, and you're proud of that daisy. So you pin that daisy on your clothing, and you head out the door. You're driving somewhere, and somebody cuts you off. One of your petals is missing. And then you're blamed for something that you did not do. Another petal is missing. And then someone else gets credit for something that you did do. Two petals are gone. And then you go to the grocery store to buy your groceries, and they're out of what you need. There goes another petal. And then the traffic getting home is awful. More petals. And at the end of your bad day, you only have one petal left on your daisy. Woe be it to the person in your home who dares pick your last petal. But now let's tell that story in a different way. You don't just have one daisy. You have a whole garden full of daisies. You take one daisy and you put it on your clothing and you go through your day and you start losing petals. It's inevitable. But you're not anxious about it because you know that you have lots and lots and lots of daisies at your disposal. The difference is your attitude. It's a huge difference in your attitude. You are no longer easily angered. Well, remember this. God fills your life with flowers. He fills your life with mercy. And that mercy is new every morning. Bouquets of love from God, bouquets of mercy from God, bouquets coming from God. So receive his abundant gifts so that when people around you and circumstances around you make you feel angry, you will never be short of petals. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I guess what we're saying is we want to be more like you. We need to be more like you. We want, Lord, to live lives that show love and not hostility. We want to draw people to you through our demeanor, through our words, through our actions. We do not want to repel people from you because we have an anger issue. So help us, Lord. Help us to be angry but not sin. Help us to never sleep on wrath. And help us to never lose our temper. In Jesus' name, amen.